Can we turn again to John chapter 17, please? John chapter 17, and we'll read the same passage we read this morning. John 17, 1 to 12. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I give them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you give me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you give me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled." Amen. Has a people whom he has given to the Son, and they will be saved when and only when they hear the gospel and come to Jesus Christ. God gave them to the Son out of the world. They are perishing like everyone else. But God is determined that they will be his. And Christ has come to reveal his name to these apostles, to reveal God's character, what God is like. If you want to know what God is like, look at the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. He is the one who shows forth the glory of God. He is the one that shows you what God is like in human form. He is the one who shows you what God's standards are, what God expects of man. He is the one who shows you what a holy God does in a sinful world. Jesus says, "I have revealed your name to those whom you give me out of the world." If men and women who are perishing do not see the character of God revealed through Christ, they will not be saved. Again, it's an unpopular message. We're told that there are many ways to understand God. Well, God didn't tell us that. Modern man might have, or ancient man might have. But Jesus said, "I came to reveal God to them," because they wouldn't understand God in any other way. And they couldn't have a right understanding of God unless Jesus did this. Jesus came to reveal God's name to them. They were yours and you give them to me, and they have obeyed your word. How do you know that they are truly your followers, Jesus? Jesus says, they've obeyed God's word. They haven't just taken a decision 20 years ago, and it doesn't matter what happens thereafter, God's obliged to save them. They have kept or obeyed God's word. So you've got to do things to be saved. No, Jesus doesn't say that. He says, "Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I give them the words you give me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me."
They heard God's revelation through Jesus. They believed in Jesus and they're saved. But the evidence that they're saved is that they obey God's word. There is no salvation that does not lead to obedience to God's word. All the sects teach us, all the false religions teach us, if you do A, B, C, put in whatever you like there, whichever the particular sect says, if you do A, B, and C, you might get saved. The gospel says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But the gospel also says, when you believe in Christ, you will seek to live for Christ. You will seek to obey God's word because in not doing so, you're offending your Father. And you will want to live to please the God who has saved you. I have seen in Peru countless decisions, and they don't interest me in the slightest. What we seek to do is make disciples. Those are the ones who truly believe. They show it because they obey God's word. Now, they're not saved without the believing. And they must believe, and you must believe the revelation of God in Jesus Christ if you're ever to be saved. There is no other salvation. Jesus did not say, I am a possibility. Or, I am a way to the Father. You can try half a dozen others, but I'm probably the best. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You do not come by the church. You do not come by the Virgin. You do not come by the saints. You do not come by whatever you've been told that's not Jesus Christ. You come by Jesus Christ. And all that the Father gave to Christ will come to him. And what does Jesus say? He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. How do I know the Father's given me to the Son? Come to Jesus. How do I know he'll accept me, he says. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You come, he'll accept you, and you'll find that you came because the Father brought you there. Jesus says, I have a great mission. I have assurance that my mission will not fail. And these men are the start of that mission. They have believed. They have seen that what I did and what I said comes from the Father. Many Jews were expecting a Messiah who would do wonders. Many Jews had wonderful ideas as to what they thought those wonders would be. But when Jesus came, he was a bit of a disappointment. He didn't wipe out the Roman armies. He didn't create a state of peace and plenty for the Jews and what other rest matter. He didn't do all the things that they thought they would like to see him do. So they didn't believe in him. But these people, because they saw that he came from the Father, believed his message and followed him. It is not your concept of what you think Jesus should do that matters. It is God's determination of what Jesus should do that matters. And God determined that Jesus should go the way of the cross. God determined that Jesus should have a humble existence in this world. And it put some people and some very religious people off. But these men saw beyond the humility of a carpenter from Galilee turned preacher. And they saw the glory of God in God the Son. And they came to believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you offended by the way Jesus is presented in the Gospels? Would you like him to be different? Would you like him to be, I don't know. We've got people in Peru who talk about health and wealth. I find it incredible. in a poor country like Peru that people tell us a Christian must be wealthy. You're the son of a king. If you're not wealthy, well, there's something wrong with your faith, isn't there? And it's more sophisticated than that. You say, Jesus wasn't wealthy. He was poor so that we could become rich. And they go on and on and on about this. But what you never hear is that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. What you don't hear is that people need to truly repent before God. You see, they have a Jesus who fits in with their concept of a modern capitalist society. And who doesn't want to be rich? Do you want to live in poverty? Who doesn't want to get rich quickly? And here it is. The Bible says it, allegedly. Of course it doesn't happen, because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible teaches that Jesus came to save sinners, not that Jesus came to make the poor rich. Jesus came to deal with our fundamental problem of separation from God. And Jesus dealt with it radically at the cross. And Jesus said, these men have understood. Many people have got false ideas and they've been disillusioned, but these men understood it. These men have believed in me and they've obeyed my word. He says, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. You see, he's convinced of the doctrine of election, but it doesn't stop him preaching the gospel. Quite the reverse. It doesn't stop him praying for these people. It doesn't say, well, you've chosen them, so that's all right. He said, I am praying for them because they're yours. You, Father, have a vested interest in these people, and I'm reminding you of that. I'm reminding you that you have determined this, and I am asking you to fulfill what you have planned. I am asking you to bless these people, to keep these people. They're saved, yes, but they need to be kept by the power of God. They need, as they walk day by day, to be assured of the presence of God with them. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. Martin Luther said about this verse, this phrase, all you have is mine. This no creature can say with reference to God. Can you say that to God? All that you have, God, is mine? Of course not. Of course not. When Jesus says, all that you have is mine, he is claiming nothing less than to be God. No one less than God could be our Savior. When there was the great debate in the 3rd and 4th centuries over a heretic called Arius, who's very like the Jehovah's Witnesses, Arius said, Jesus Christ is a wonderful person. He is the most exalted creature you can imagine. He is the first creature of God. How did the church respond? Well, Athanasius, a deacon in the church in Alexandria, and later became the pastor. They usually call him bishop, but we'll call him a pastor because we know that's what he was. He said, no, Jesus is God. Why? Because no one less than God could be my Savior. And the God who does not become man could not save me. It took God himself to become a man in order to be my Savior. And that's just what Jesus said. Athanasius didn't invent it. Jesus says it here. All that you have is mine. All the glory of God, all the holiness of God, all the justice of God, all the characters of God, characteristics of God belong to Jesus because Jesus is God. And Jesus, God, become man, came to save men and women who were perishing. Glory has come to me through them. Isn't that amazing? Not glory has come to me through the Godhead. True. Not even glory has come to me through angels, but glory has come to me through them. These people who were lost and perishing in the world, but have been saved by the power of God, have been transformed when they believed in Jesus and began to obey his word. The glory of God was seen in them. Do you see those little women we saw there? You look at them and you say, what an insignificant little person. Most people in Tacna would say that, but looking at them, who's she? She is a child of God. And she is bringing glory to God. And God and Christ are glorified in those women in Peru and are glorified in you and I here in Lisburn and in Northern Ireland tonight. And Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Jesus says, I am glorified in them. He's glorified in them because the justice of God is satisfied. He's glorified in them because the holiness of God is being revealed in them. Hard to believe, isn't it, when you look at yourself? But God is sanctifying each one of us and conforming us, as we said this morning, to the image of his Son. And someday we will be like him and we shall see him as he is. And Jesus will receive all the glory in that day. But he's being glorified now in our lives, or he should be. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world and I am coming to you. Here's the difference now between Jesus' work and their work. Jesus' work on earth is finished. Theirs is about to begin. Jesus has said it is necessary for him to go away or the comforter will not come. Jesus has warned them. They don't understand it yet and they're going to abandon him. I know that. But Jesus has said to them that his work is almost finished. And now he says to the Father, I am coming to you. Isn't that good to know? Jesus said it's better for us that he go away. We know that his sacrifice is finished. He's not still here offering it. We know that it's accepted because God raised him from the dead and God exalted him and set him at his right hand. And Jesus is in heaven as our surety, our guarantee that salvation is available to all who believe. But they are still in the world. Why doesn't God just take us out of the world? Well, one reason might be, if you get saved and get taken straight out of the world, who would you tell the gospel to? Or better still, if the person who led you to Christ had been taken out of the world, you'd never have heard the gospel. We are here to teach and preach the gospel to men and women so that others who are perishing may hear the gospel as well. Jesus' mission on earth is completed until he returns. Our mission on earth continues until he returns. And Jesus says, I'm not in the world, but they're still there. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you give me, so that they may be one as we are one. He's asking God to pledge his character to our protection. How safe am I? As safe as God is God. I can perish if God can cease to be God. Isn't that a great salvation to preach? Isn't that great when someone tries to tell me in Peru that yes, it's wonderful that you're saved, but you know, you can lose it. There are many, many Pentecostal groups in Peru, some of them very, very good, fine people of God, people whose holiness is greater than mine. But they have this one thing, among others, that very few Pentecostal believers in Peru have this doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. They believe that you can be lost when you're truly saved. Well, here is Jesus saying, keep them in the name you give me. Show the character that I displayed to them. Holy Father. he says. God is holy. That's why sin is so serious. God doesn't just brush it onto the carpet. God deals with sin. But God is a father who seeks his children and brings them to himself in love. And Jesus said, in your character as a holy yet loving father, keep them. Keep them. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you give me, so that they may be one as we are one. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Jesus is one with the Father in his very nature and his being. And he says that they, you and I, who are in the church, may be one as we, Father, are one. We don't create this unity. God has created it. We are in the Father. We are in the Son. So he's not saying, may they become one. What he's saying is, may they continue being one. And in verse 21, he says, this is how the world will know that the Father has sent them, when the church shows this unity. Jesus Christ is determined on the salvation of men and women. The Father is determined to save men and women. Jesus Christ invites sinners in the world to come to him. They are in the world, but when they come to him, they cease to be the world and they become the people of God. Let me ask you, do you know this Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to trust in his name, in the character which he has revealed of God? Are you depending on him and then living for him? Are you trying to live and hoping you please him? You won't. Because out of Christ, you and I are in Adam. We are fallen. We are sinful. And we are without hope while we are without Christ. But with Christ, we have all things. We are complete in him, as Colossians says. We don't get a bit of him. We get all that Christ is put to our benefit. Jesus Christ calls men and women to come to God through him. Come this evening and find the salvation which he supplies. Find the security amid the insecurity around us, that you have eternal life. You know the Father because Jesus has revealed him to you. This is so important, this idea of revelation. Jesus revealed what the Father gave him to reveal. Pastor of the Big Chai Church, Ramon Chichaki, has a mother-in-law who has dreams. God bless her. She's a Christian. She had this dream one night and she told us about it in the church. She was crossing a field along with the pastor and she came across a river and she and the pastor crossed the river. End of dream. Then the interpretation came. You see, we must go on with God. The church must advance with God. And while we're advancing with God, we're all right. Wonderful. And she sat down. Ramon stood up and lifted his Bible into the air and said, thank you, Mother, that was very interesting. You know when I know what God's word, you know when I know what the church should do? When I read God's word. Do you know when I am certain what God is saying to me? When I understand this. This is the revelation of God to us in Pei Chai. And the revelation of God to us in Lusburne tonight is the same. God has revealed himself through Jesus. Jesus has given us his word written, inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you want to understand what God is like, if you want to see what Jesus is as your Savior, come to the Word of God. Not to your notions, not to my ideas, but to what God says. And God says that Jesus is the perfect revelation of God to sinful man. God says, he that comes to me, says Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. May you come to him for his glory.